Lydia R. Diamond's play Stick Fly presents a scenario we've seen before in Broadway. A wealthy family gathers at their palatial home for a festive occasion. Tensions arise and long-buried family secrets are revealed. But there's a twist here. This privileged family is African American, and those tensions and secrets revolve around issues of race and class as much as sibling rivalry. The play is at the Court Theater on West 48th Street, and I'm very pleased to welcome the three women in the cast, Condola Rashad.
Hello.
Rosie Benton.
Hi.
And Tracy Toms.
Hello.
To our show. Condola, this is your Broadway debut, but many people will remember you from Ruin, Lynn Nottage's Pulitzer Prize-winning play.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think African-American playwrights, and especially the women, are finally starting to get some recognition?
Yeah, I do, actually. And it's... I think it's really great, and I'm really lucky to be a part. I feel very lucky to be a part of that. It's kind of an honor.
Well, there was for a long time it was felt that you couldn't do too many plays with African Americans on Broadway because you weren't going to draw an audience. But we're seeing a fair number, and you got cast in this play after you tried out for the role of the hotel maid in the Mountaintop by another
mm-hmm.
African American playwright.
I did, yeah.
So you lost to Angela Bassett. That can't hurt that much.
I know, right? It doesn't hurt much. I'm not hurt. I'm not hurt at all. It's all good. everything turns out for a reason, and I this is where I'm supposed to be.
So well, this is an incredible part.
Yeah, this is not, and also just like it's where I'm supposed to be.
And Kenny Leon directed both of those plays. So
mm-hmm.
When you try out for one, you may wind up being cast in something else.
Yeah, I guess so.
Tracy, can you set up a bit of the plot for us and tell us about your character, Taylor?
Well, okay, so this family in this play, they are the LaVeys, and LaVeys have a summer home on Martha's Vineyard. So
And they're old money.
And they're old money. They were, historically the first African-American family to own property on the vineyard is their backstory. So this summer... there's a father and two sons. Both of the sons independently decide to bring their significant others for the summer. There is a mother who is not in the play.
We hear a lot about her.
We hear a lot about her. And then there's the family maid, Miss Ellie, who is also not in the play, and she sends her daughter, Cheryl, played by Condola, to come and visit. And, we think it's going to be a nice family summer vacation, and then things go awry as they do.
Your character is the daughter of a famous sociologist.
Yes, my character, I am the fiance of the youngest son, played by Dooley Hill, Kent LaVey. My name is Taylor Bradley Scott. I am the daughter of a very famous sociologist, Dr. James Bradley Scott.
But he left the family when she was very young, so
yes.
She really never reaped much of the benefit, just... The
right.
resentment.
Just the resentment. Yeah, I got the resentment part, but not the benefits. So basically, my father divorced my mother when I was very young, and he passed away the year before the play takes place. So basically, I'm getting an insight to what my life would have been like had he not left my mother. And I get to see what the other family, what their life looked like. So it's very difficult for her. She's dealing with a lot of things at once. So,
Rosie, pleased to welcome you back our show. The last time you were here, you played a poor Irish woman, and now you're a privileged wasp.
Yes. I can do everything. No.
Yes.
privileged wasp is a little closer to my natural way of being.
Well, your character, Kimber, is the girlfriend of Kent's brother, Flip, played by Mackay Pfeiffer.
Mackay,
I'm sorry.
No, please.
And she's the only white character in the play,
mm-hmm.
and there's a running joke in which she's described as Italian.
Yeah.
Why is Italian used as a euphemism for white in this context?
Well, that's actually not something I understand it as sort of a sort of gag that being totally white and being of the sort of the idea of being white. And actually, I've experienced this a lot in meeting people after the show and talking to them. Like, the idea of being white in this world is very different than just, like, relationship, like a white person walking into a room. And I think Kimber, not only Lydia has created her to be the idea of whiteness and privilege and all of these things walking in, but she the the Italian gag is to try and lessen that blow. I mean, I guess there's some sort of thing that if you're not totally white, then you're sort of, it's more of an in with that, you know, dynamic. But again, it's not, when I first read the play, I was like, I don't get this joke. And then walking into rehearsal, I, you know.
Well, you're ethnic.
Ethnic, yeah.
But also there's the whole matter of her feeling that she really understands what the problems of poor black people. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of experiencing a kind of reverse racism, at least from the other women.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's an interesting idea, if that even exists, reverse racism. I've talked a lot about this with people. I think she does put her foot in her mouth. She walks in and she says some dumb stuff. I mean, she's trying to be accepted like anyone's trying to be accepted, and she's a very smart woman, and she wants, at times, she wants to prove she's smart, as people do when they feel like they're not being accepted right away. And so she screws up, and then Taylor screws up, and they both, you know.
Oh, everybody says dumb stuff except yep. Condola's character, Cheryl.
No, you know what? I disagree. Cheryl says some stuff that I don't agree with as well. Really.
But, you know, it's interesting because she's the maid's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have the whole class thing going on here. But it becomes apparent pretty quickly that she's as smart as anyone in the room.
Absolutely. She definitely is that. I mean, she's smart, and then she's also very naive at the same time.
Well, she has she's the daughter of the family maid, and mm-hmm. she's come to fill in for her mother, who's ill.
Yes.
She's about to go to college, and she clearly resents having to wait on these people.
Well, you know, it's I can't really give that much away, but
we're not going to give away.
I know. What I was going to respond to, though, might have given it away. The way I was going to respond to that kind of statement, I think in the beginning, she resents it, but does not acknowledge that she's resenting it. So it's actually something that's under the surface. Because she likes to take pride. It seems that she likes to take pride in what she does, even if she doesn't really take pride in it. She's just going to pretend like this is cool until things come out, and then the resentment starts to.
But she is clearly the conscience of the play.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she sees these other people as clearly, more clearly than they see themselves?
I don't want to say more clearly, but I would say in a different light than they're able to see themselves in sometimes. Yeah.
Well, she's more of an insider in an odd way because she's grown up
yeah.
in this home.
Mm-hmm.
The patriarch of the family, Joe LaVey,
yep.
played wonderfully by Ruben Santiago Hudson, is a neurosurgeon. Flip is a cosmetic surgeon. Kent has several graduate degrees. His first novel is about to be published. Is this a family in which achievement is prized and even expected? Does Joe LaVey expect the women his sons have brought home to be high achievers as well?
I think so. I think, you know, it's funny when you come from a family of scholars, there's a certain standard that is set. And the reason Kent and his father have such issues is that he hasn't found his place yet. And Taylor...
The father doesn't respect the fact that he's written a novel that Random House is very happy to publish.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a small reputable company. It's not even Random House.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, it's not even Random House.
That was a joke.
It's a small reputable company. And his father just has such disdain for his life choices that he's dumped all his money into his son, and his son has not found his place yet. But what he doesn't really realize is that his son actually has found his place. He just doesn't accept it. He just isn't accepting of his son being an artist. So when the two women come in, and you know, I'm getting my postdoc at Johns Hopkins, and Kimber went to Columbia and probably has 18 degrees of her own. You know. Dr. LaVey is looking around like, well, what's wrong with you, Kent? You're mm-hmm. surrounded by people who are achievers, and you aren't stepping up to the plate. And that's part of Kent's journey throughout the play to find out how to step up to his father and, you know, claim his own manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Although people are confused about your character's achievement, which mm-hmm. gives the play its title.
Right. Stick
you're,
fly.
You're an entomologist.
I'm an entomologist.
Bugs, including flies.
Yes. That's important, right?
my guests are Tracy Toms, Rosie Benton, and Condola Rashad, the three women who star in Lydia Diamond's play, Stick Fly, which is currently at the Court Theater at 138 West 48th Street. So did Lydia Diamond come to rehearsals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Give you any good advice?
Yeah.
It's really nice to have a living playwright in the room, because you can have a question that, even though she and Kenny are on the same page, those are her words. So sometimes you're like, no, I really don't understand what this is. And sometimes she's able to, you know, assist with that, to be like, well, this is what I meant it to be. But also having a living playwright in the room, it's like she can say, okay, I wrote that, but it's not fitting. For some reason, I heard it a different way in my head, but now that I'm actually hearing it with people saying it, like, so there's adjustments that can be made. So it's nice.
Yeah.
It would be interesting if Shakespeare could come in and explain some of the things that confuse people.
Well, yeah.
Or Chekhov could say, you know, I think you should play this a little lighter.
Right. And that's a slippery slope, because I've done a lot of new plays, and you get to a point where you're like, you know, if something's not working as an actor, you can be like, maybe this isn't the right line. And eventually you just have to be like, I will do it as it is. And there are a few lines that I fought on and I said, I just don't think this is right. And she helped me. But
well, there are playwrights who sometimes change the lines.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But you can just sort of change anything. And I think it's important to address a play like this as if it's Shakespeare.
Right. Make it work. I'll try my best to make it work before I ask for a change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mentioned that this is as much about class as it is about anything else. In fact, in an odd way, Rosie Kimber and Taylor would try to be friends under normal circumstances.
Oh, yeah. I think
they will be.
They will be, yeah. And when they fight in the beginning, I mean, I don't know how you feel, and it's not really important how the actors feel, but I always think like, oh, these are people that meet each other at the same level, and I love that. I mean, I think once
well, you have to think about those things when you're developing your character.
Right. But, I think that it's just, you can see them, you know, being friends that will spar, and I think that they both like that about each other in the end.
There's also friction between Cheryl and Taylor, mm-hmm. because, as they say at the end of the play, they're really a lot alike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Taylor is, how do I put it? She's a little socially awkward, to say the least. You know, Kimber was saying that, you know, she puts her foot in her mouth. Well, Taylor puts like a ski boots in her mouth, you know, all the time. She's just snacking on shoe leather all the time. And I think sometimes, you know, we all make assumptions about each other. And every time that happens in the play, you get your hand bit. You know, it's like you make an assumption about me. Whether it's true or not, don't make an assumption about me. So I assume that I can reach out to Cheryl. Taylor assumes I can reach out to Cheryl. Like, come on, Cheryl, help me out here. You know what I'm talking about. And Cheryl's like, I don't know what you're talking about, actually.
But she actually knows the family better than either of these women, because she's been with them for so long.
Absolutely.
There was a wonderful article about you in yesterday's Times, Condola. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did. Thank you.
And you talked about the difficulty of doing a certain part of this performance, and that is you speak on the phone a lot to your absent mother, and you have to would it have been better if they had actually just had somebody say stuff into the phone?
That's my job. I have to just figure it out.
So you have to imagine the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, I just have to get into it, and I'm not a very in my own life I'm not the most emotional person, so it takes a lot for me to produce that kind of emotion and have it be real. So like during the intermission, I have to just make up a conversation and hurt my own feelings for a while.
Your own mother, Felicia Rashad, is an actress who played the mother in The Cosby Show and also won a Tony for her performance in A Raisin in the Sun. Do you imagine her on the other side of that call? Right?
No, I try not to, because then it'll get too personal and I'll like go off on some tangent and then I'll really hurt my own feelings.
Mom.
Or something. It's like, no, I got to keep it.
Neither Cheryl's mother nor Flip and Ken's mother ever appear on the stage, but they're really crucial to the story. So we and the audience kind of invent them. I mean, you had to as well, but we invent them too. Relationships between fathers and children are really at the center of this play. And, of course, Taylor has never resolved her issues with her father. So this is a sore subject for her. And Joe LaVey becomes a kind of like a surrogate for her own father, in a way, somebody she can vent against.
Right. And then things happen, you know, where, you know, I'm constantly, and I talked to the playwright about this. I think Taylor is one of those women who constantly tries to find other fathers. Like, she keeps substituting other people, other men, parental figures as her has her father, you know, and if they let her down, then she's let down all over again. Like, she keeps opening this wound, and then it's like, oh, and that, there's more salt.
And people are saying, get over it already.
And people are saying, get over it, because they don't understand what it is. I mean, there's one thing to not know your father. There's another thing to know your father, and your father actively chooses to not claim you.
Because
that's a different kind of
thing. He's thrown in his lot with his new family.
Right. So they're the real family. And
now, the action takes place in three distinct areas of the LeVay home: the living room, the kitchen, the patio. At times, there are simultaneous conversations going on in different rooms at the same time. That timing must have been difficult to work out in rehearsal.
Oh, we went over that quite a bit in rehearsal. Let's do it again.
It's choreography. It really is.
Yeah.
And you've been having talkbacks with the audience and after some performances?
We have another talkback this Saturday.
With tomorrow. Alicia.
With Alicia Keys. With a Q&A with Alicia Keys.
Well, she is the producer.
Yes,
she's thrown in her lot, and she's also provided the music.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
And this is an open run?
It is.
At this point, yeah.
It is. We have right now selling tickets through March 4th, at least.
But our best, the best tickets, the best, what is it?
Seats. Seats.
Thank you.
Seats.
The best seats. Thank you. Awesome. The best seats are available now, right now. So, you know, get over this little winter blah.
And
I thank the three of you so much, Kandola Rashad, Rosie Benton, Tracy Toms, three of the stars of Lydiard Diamond's Stickfly, now at the Court Theater, 138 West 48th Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org.
Thank you.
Thank you.